Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
In today's passage, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While believers may differ on the timing of the rapture, one truth remains. Jesus will come suddenly, and we must be ready. That reality should shape how we live every moment of every day. Please open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his discussion of verses 1 through 11.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning, if you will kindly turn there, verses 1 through 11. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. That's God's word. Last week, we spoke of the rapture of the church, and we spoke about how there are different views on the timing, and I think it's really not profitable to engage in arguing about differences. The differences exist. But one thing that I pointed out last week that kind of like stirred up some attention was the fact that the scriptures talk about how the Lord is at hand. And that means that he's near. It means that his return is soon. And I was sharing with the first service something that is so often the case after teaching on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. I'll drive home and I'll talk to the Lord. And some scriptures he brought to my attention. And I said, Lord, why didn't you just give me those scriptures like 15 minutes ago? And in Revelation, three times in Revelation chapter 7, 22 verse 7, Revelation chapter 22 verse 12, Revelation chapter 22 verse 20, three times the Lord says, I am coming quickly. And the word quickly there means shortly. It means without delay. It means soon. And so, think of this. Think of us gathering in one place when John is reading this book of Revelation to us. And he says, the Lord is coming quickly. How would you think? How would you interpret that? Well, I think I've got a lot of time. Would you? If you did that, you'd have no idea what he was talking about. The idea is, yes, he's coming quickly. He's coming imminently. He is that near. Now, what trips us up is that we measure time linearly in terms of seconds and minutes and days and weeks and hours. Well, that's a long time. But God is eternal. And a day with him is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And so whatever your particular view is on when the Lord is coming, the real issue is how then, and Paul's going to mention that here, how then should we be living? That's always the issue. How should we be living? And Paul is now engaging that conversation. He tells them, I don't have to tell you about the times and seasons. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. Now, in verse 1, not to sound technical, the Greek grammar indicates that there's been a change of topic, but within the subject of prophecy. In other words, we just left the topic of us being caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and now the subject switches to the day of judgment that's going to come on the world during the day of the Lord, which includes the great tribulation period. Notice Paul says the times and seasons. When Jesus was about to ascend up to heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." And then he went on and said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witnesses." And one of the things we need to be sensitive about is that whenever God is speaking something prophetically, it is couched within the context of then, how then should the fact that he is coming, how should that impact how we live? That's the idea all the way through Scripture. Whether it's the flood judgment of Noah, whether it's the great tribulation period, the warnings go out, and then there is the exhortation for us who are believers to live a certain way. Jesus said, "But of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father." And unfortunately, over the years, there have been people who have predicted when the Lord was going to return. They predicted the day, some predicted the hour. And you know an idol, every time they predicted that to happen, they were wrong. And because of that, many people who are not believers have this lackadaisical attitude towards the prophetic realm of Scripture, unfortunately being lulled asleep thinking that he really isn't going to come because these false prophets have wrongly foretold of his coming. But the fact remains, Christ is near. And Christ is coming. Now, another interesting clue in understanding Bible prophecy is the church. The church. Who is the church? Well, it's saved Jews, saved Gentiles together in one body. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he writes that he was given a revelation of this mystery group of people called the church. In the Old Testament, the Jews did believe that the Gentiles or the Goyim could become a part of Israel, but first they had to be circumcised and become a Jew. We saw in the book of Acts that was a hard sell, and it didn't fly. Paul says, "I write to you a mystery." So when he was speaking of the rapture or the taking away of the church, that was something that was completely unknown to them. It was hidden and revealed to Paul. Now he says, "I'm talking about something that you know all about, and that's the day of the Lord." Now, when you hear the phrase, the day of the Lord, don't think of one 24-hour period of time. It's an extended period of time. It's a long period of time. The day of the Lord is found in Old Testament passages like Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 through 13, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, and there are many more, but those are Old Testament references of a future time when God is going to intervene in power and in wrath to execute judgment on a planet that is in rebellion against him. In the New Testament, Revelation chapter 6 through 19 speaks about a time known as the Great Tribulation. It's a seven-year period of time, and that is also a part of the day of the Lord. It's a part of it. We read in chapter 19, verses 11 through 21, a part of the day of the Lord is when he returns in glory on a white horse, and the armies of heaven follow him. Revelation 17, 14 tells us, called, chosen, and faithful, not cold, frozen, and have no idea what's going on. We return with him. He sets up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 tells us about that. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed and wreaks havoc on earth. He is finally judged. And then Revelation 21 and 22 talks about how we enter into that eternal state. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, Revelation chapter 21, there are lists of individuals who are not going to enter into the eternal state. We find lists of individuals who are not going to enter into the eternal state, into the kingdom of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. Now, I mention that because one of the things that I want us to be sensitive to as we unpack this section of Scripture is this. There's a reason why Jesus himself and every one of the apostles issue warnings to individuals. Now listen carefully. Why? Because there would be individuals like today, and only God knows where you stand with the Lord, because there would be individuals like today or people watching online who may think that they are ready, who may think that they are believers, but you can tell a tree by its fruit, and they're not. And you and I know that that's true. How many of you were absolutely sure you were going to go to heaven before you got saved? I did. I mean, come on, Viola, I-O-A, more vowels than consonants in my last name, Roman Catholic, water baptized in 6 weeks, everything, the whole nine yards. I'm good to go. I'm in. Until I heard the gospel. What happened? God then revealed himself to me, and I had no doubt in my mind that if I had died 5 seconds before I was born again, I would have gone right to hell. And so there is couched into this section of Scripture the ongoing exhortation to be sober, to be alert, to be awake. Why? Because I hope it's not true. Not everybody here is sober. Not everybody here is alert. Not everybody here is awake. Oh, you are physically, except for the people in the back that are sleeping right now. And so bear that in mind. Like when Jesus wrote to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, five of them were given scathing rebukes, warnings. Why? Because the people that was rebuking thought, well, I must be okay. And I think part of why that mentality exists is because of a misunderstanding of what salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ means. Let me explain. Now, we know that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, right? It's not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a free gift from A to Z. But there was a problem addressed in the book of Romans that is the same problem today. People were thinking, wow, this is wonderful. I am a card-carrying sinner, and now I just pray this prayer, sign a card, and I'm in. Because my good works don't earn me salvation, right? My bad works don't disqualify me. And Paul said, wait a minute, wait, you're misunderstanding. The grace of God that provides salvation also teaches us to live a certain way. And there were people who were turning the grace of God into what Jude says, lascivious living. They were interpreting grace to mean, so, now I can live however I want. I can make up my own rules. I can sleep with who I want. I can drink what I want. I can do anything that I want. And I know that I'm going to heaven. You're not. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't sin. That doesn't mean that we don't fail. He's talking about people who have that kind of a lifestyle, deceiving themselves into thinking that they are born again. So that's why these warnings are given. Why does God warn us? Because he loves us. He's not willing that any perish. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So he warns us. That's because he's a good dad. So, Jesus said that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. It's prophesied, but we don't know the day or the hour. A thief is not going to send you a text message. Dear Ron, I saw the live stream, and I'm so glad that you're in the front row. I'm glad to tell you that I'm about to go into your front door and rob you clean. Your friend, Beelzebub. You don't know. He doesn't give. There is no day or hour. It's something that is imminent. Something that can happen right now. You see, right now is the time to be right with God. Right now is the day of salvation. Right now, we need to be prepared. As Christians, we are to be dressing ourselves to meet our bridegroom. Did you ever see a bride getting ready for her wedding? Man alive! That is something else. They don't come in with concrete boots on and hair all over the place. Oh, honey, how are you? Now you open the doors and the guys up here who previously told me before she comes walking in, preach the gospel. She comes walking out and goes, make it quick. So you get the idea here. Peter tells us the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Just like the Lord said, the earth was judged how? By a flood. Second time, by fire. The phrase thief of the night speaks of an element of surprise or unpreparedness. In spite, again, of the fact that the warning has gone out. In the Olivet Discourse, the Lord Jesus likened his second coming to the flood in times of Noah and to the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how in both cases, the people were completely surprised and swept away by the flood, even though Noah warned them for 120 years. But you know what happened? People just weren't listening anymore. Let the words of Christ speak for themselves. Luke 17:26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It happened to them suddenly, but they were given fair warning. Notice in verses 3 through 10 that there's a distinction between we and us as opposed to they and them. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. They will be saying, peace and safety. But they're saying that either ignoring or being oblivious to, or most commonly, despising what God said. They're going to be declaring, I'm okay. This is not going to happen. They will not escape. There's nothing new under the sun. There are people today, you know some people. I know people. Hopefully, it's not any of you, are saying peace and safety. It's okay with my soul, completely oblivious to the fact that they are not born again and is ignoring the warning of destruction that is coming upon them. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 36, the wrath of God abides on those who are unregenerate. Though his grace is extended, and he's crying out to you and me to come and repent. But unless you repent, that wrath that is upon you is going to be poured out upon you, either when you die or if you are one of those who are alive when the great tribulation comes. Listen to this warning that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time. Now, in my Bible, that phrase, lest at any time, you know what I put there? Right now. Because isn't any time right now? It isn't saying, take heed to yourselves less than 15 years or this afternoon. Right now, your hearts be overcharged, weighed down, burdened with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, the cares of this life. The idea here is of a distraction from the eternal things caused by worries and anxiety over things that are happening on the planet before the Lord comes. And so what they're doing is they're numbing themselves to the reality of what's going to happen and convincing themselves, I'm okay. We've all been there until we heard the gospel. And this great tribulation period is going to be, he says, as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore. That's one of the words that Jesus uses over and over and over again. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Interesting. That word escape is a Greek word that means to flee from one place to another. Watch. Take heed to yourself. Guard yourself. That when the Lord comes, you will be counted worthy to escape, to flee. From what? The wrath that is coming to another place. And I'll let you parse that out eschatologically how you want. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship,
500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.